Opinions expressed by talk show hosts or callers on KWRO AM 630 do not necessarily represent or express the opinions of the staff and management of KWRO AM 630 or Bicoastal Media LLC, its sponsors and subsidiaries. And now, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting live from the palatial Bicoastal Media Studios high atop the Hall Building in beautiful downtown Coos Bay, it's the Jim Bice Show. Here he is, Jim Bice, the guy everyone hates to love.
Well, good afternoon, Coos County. You're listening to the Jim Bice Show, and if you're wondering whose voice you're hearing, well, it's not Jim Bice. You're listening to Rob Taylor right now. I'm filling in for Jim, and he's taking off for his 100th birthday, from what we hear. Well, maybe it's not exactly a 100th for his birthday, but I'll tell you what. Like, I've heard the guy is so old that when they opened up the sarcophagus in the Great Pyramid, that he was inside having a martini and cleaning his spear. So, maybe he's been around a little while, and I want to thank everyone who has been a listener of this show. I know I've been since I've moved here about 20 years ago. One of the first things I like to do is to find out what's going on in the county, in the area. And of course, Jim Bice, as usual, was one of the few venues that you have here in Coos County where you can get local news and find out what's happening in your area. So as an activist, we have kind of a symbiotic relationship. As an activist, I'm active, and I need a venue or a way to get the message out of what I'm doing. And Jim, as a radio guy, he always needs people or stories to cover. And so we have this symbiotic relationship where we can feed off of what each other is doing here in our community. He informs you, and I give some of the activity of what's going on. I want to give you an idea of how long Jim's been alive. Jim was born in 1947. In 1937, this was about 10 years before Jim was born, they invented the jet engine. Now, I want you to think about these things that I'm going to go over. In 1937, the jet engine was invented, and these are the types of inventions that are over the century, or over the past 71 years that Jim has been alive, has really changed the way we've lived and the way we conduct our lives. So in 1937, the jet engine was created, and that same year, Alan Turing, he develops the concept of theoretical computing machine, the computer. And in 1938, this is about 9 years before Jim was born, they invented the ballpoint pen. Can you imagine having what they wrote with before they had the ballpoint pen? I'll have to ask my grandmother. Maybe they used bone and blood. I'm not sure. But in 1943, this is just 4 years before Jim was born, Adolf Hitler was using the Enigma machine to encrypt the codes. And Alan Turing, who also developed that theoretical computing machine, developed the machine Colossus, which defeated the Enigma machine, and was able to break those codes. Also in 1943, Jacques Cousteau invented the aqualung. I didn't know that about Jacques Cousteau, but that's pretty impressive. Well, in 1946, this is real important. This is 1 year before Jim was born. In 1946, they invented the microwave. I can guarantee you that throughout Jim's life as a salesman, as a businessman, he spent a lot of time eating lunch coming out of the microwave. In 1951, they invented the nuclear power reactor. In 1956, they invented the video cassette recorder, which was invented by Ampex. In 1957, and this is just 10 years after Jim was born, Jim would have been 10 years old, the Sputnik 1 and Sputnik 2 were launched by the Russians. In 1958, the silicone chip, which was the first integrated circuit silicone chip, was created. In 1960, someone invented the laser. I'm sure Jim appreciated that. In 1961, they invented the optical disc. In 1963, they invented the computer mouse. And what's very important, in this 1965, they invented Kevlar. Kevlar is very important, especially in Jim's life, because I'm sure in the things that he's done throughout his time, it's been something that was very important for him. In 1968, 1967, they invented the automatic teller machine. Now, Jim at this time was 20 years old. Now, can you imagine being 20 in 1967, the heyday of the 60s? Jim must have been having a heck of a time, because a year later in 1968, they invented the game console, the video game console. 1969, ARPANET was invented by the United States Department of Defense. And 1971, the email was invented by Ray Tomlinson. The liquid crystal display was invented. The pocket calculator was invented by the Sharp Corporation. Also in 1971, the floppy disk was invented by IBM. All of those stuff changing our lives throughout the lifetime of Jim Bice. In 1973, the personal computer was invented by Xerox. It changed the world, the personal computer. In 1973 to 1975, the Internet Protocol Suite was developed by Vinton Cerf and Robert Kahn for the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, or DARPA, which was the basis for the modern Internet. That was an important time in 1973 to 1975, because what happened with the invention of the Internet is that a lot of other inventions that were created beforehand, newspapers, brick and mortar retail stores, porno magazines, all of those are going to go the way of the dodo bird, because the Internet has changed our lives so much that those objects are no longer needed. So in Jim's lifetime, quite a bit has been created, and quite a bit has gone a long way of being replaced. In 1983, the camcorder was invented by Sony. In 1990, the World Wide Web was invented. Then in 2001, they invented the digital satellite radio. Now, that's very important, because I'm on a medium right now that is starting to show signs of the modern age. Most radio shows are now going to podcast and live streaming, and the airwaves, the public broadcasting airwaves, are just not the same as they used to be when Jim was back in his heyday. And all of this has changed in our lifetime and in your lifetime. So I hope when Jim's listening that he, and I know he's listening out there, you know he can't resist, I hope he understands how much in his lifetime has been created and how much our world is changing. And so in this ever-changing world that we have, I think it's very important that every now and then we reflect on some of these things to see how far we've gone. On today's show, we're going to be talking about something a little bit different. We're going to be talking about smart meters. We're going to have a guest coming on, and he's going to be telling us about some of the situation that's happening in Bandon. I know the town of Bandon, that's just south here of Coos Bay, they are, their company, their electrical company, is having a change, and they're going to be changing the regular meter, and they're going to be changing that to what they call a smart meter. I always worry about something that's called a smart whatever. Because anytime someone calls it smart, you have to understand that they're saying that as a way to disguise what hidden dangers might lie in this invention. And these smart meters that we're going to be talking about, we're going to be bringing on our guest, John Costa, after the break. And I think we're going to be, we're about ready for a break. Aren't we there, Bill? I hope you guys stay along with me, because I'm kind of new to this, and so just like driving in rush hour traffic for a new driver, I'm going to make a few mistakes, but that's all right. You guys can handle it, and we'll move along with it. And with that, I think we're going to go to a commercial.
Hi, Danny here at Far West Tire and Auto. Do you feel like you're constantly on the go? From daily commuting, dance recitals, and weekend adventures? I'm sure your tires have never let you down, but that much time on the road can cause some wear and tear on your tires. It might be time to consider upgrading to Nokians. With the 50,000-mile warranty on select Nokians, you can hit the road in style. So stop on by Far West Tire and Auto on Highway 101 Coos Bay. Always the right tire, always the right price.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole in the Wall Gun Shop across from Kumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
The RV business is booming at the Boomin' Y, and Gibbs RV is looking for nice pre-owned RVs to consign or buy. Gibbs RV makes it so simple. They will come to your location, give you a fair appraisal, and help take care of all the paperwork. It doesn't get any easier than that. So let the professionals at Gibbs RV take the hassle out of selling or consigning your RV. Stop by and see them today at 1845 Ocean Boulevard in Coos Bay by the Big Boomin' Y in Empire, or check them out at GibbsRV.com.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
All right, welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. And if you haven't realized, this is Rob Taylor, and he's letting me take this thing out solo today. So we're going to get to our guest today. His name is John Costa, and he lives in Bandon. John, are you with us?
Yes, I'm with you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. You sound perfectly fine. So, John, I know that you're an activist in Bandon, and I'm one of those who I always keep an eye on guys like you because I appreciate what you do. I like the idea that you get involved. I like the idea that you go to your city council meetings and you give them a little bit of heads up of what's going out there in the community. And right now I know you've been have a little bit of a situation going on in Bandon where they're getting ready to replace the regular meters with smart meters. Why don't you tell us a little about that?
Oh, yeah. The city of Bandon Electric has actually changed the majority of the meters out already, and they've done this without telling you. What they do is they just come and switch your old analog meter out and replace it with a new AMI meter, which is it's an AMR meter. I'm sorry, AMR meter, which will actually take the information from your power, record it, your usage, and then relay it back to a reader that comes by with their vehicle and points their reader to it, and the meter then transmits the message back to the reader. The problem with that is that the meters that are installed in Bandon are bubble-up meters, and they actually have a pulse every 30 seconds of a very high electromagnetic field, which beams the signal to the reader, whether the reader needs to read it at that time or not. So this is really unnecessary exposure, and these high peaks of pulsed energy can cause very serious health problems, and that's mainly what I'm concerned with. And I know that most people aren't even aware of this, unfortunately, but they are slowly becoming more and more aware of this. So that's basically a heads up of what's been done in Bandon.
And I know that, and I'll ask you this in a minute, but they did have a protest down in Medford where I don't know what was going down there, if they were switching the cities out, but I did see in some news report that they were having protests down there. And all across the country, people are starting to step up and say, wait a minute, these smart meters aren't so smart because they have a lot of vulnerabilities. And like you said, they cause a lot of medical problems. Now, these are microwave pulses that are being sent out by this. And could you explain some of the deleterious effects on your health that comes from these types of equipment?
Absolutely, Rob. The health effects all the data has been collected since 1971 with the Navy study, the Navy report. They knew all about this, and the FCC allowed the big telecom companies to just basically have free reign. The health effects are, I'll read them off. They're production of oxidative stress, which are stressors for your entire biology, DNA changes, cancer, male, female, infertility, serious effects on the electrical control of the heart, including tachycardia, arrhythmia, and sudden cardiac death, many neuropsychiatric effects, insomnia, headache, depression, fatigue, demographism, which is a condition of the skin, dizziness, EEG changes, memory changes, and irritability. Now, the children who are exposed to this and people with predisposed health conditions are actually most at risk from this type of technology. And we have a real problem with increases of neuropsychiatric effects and heart problems with people. More and more people are getting pacemakers put in. And I suspect a lot of this is due to the electronic smog through all the wireless technology, and the smart meters are just one aspect of that exposure. You have cell towers, you have cell phones, you have wireless baby monitors, you have wireless routers. So everything's going smart. And like you said, I suspect myself that there's a real problem with this smart technology. In fact, one of our former CIA directors, Jim Woolsey, quote unquote, says a so-called smart grid that is as vulnerable as what we've got is not smart at all. It's really, really stupid grid, unquote. So he knows the vulnerability of this type of technology.
Now, let me explain to everyone what you're talking about when you talk about a grid. When they put these meters on your house, right now, when it's an old analog meter, the meter reader comes by, he gets the numbers off of it, and that's what he takes back to the utility place, the utility business. And so right now, the meters, they're not going to send a signal directly to the utility company. What they do is that they put all these meters in your neighborhood, and then your meter talks to your neighbor, and then that signal from you and your neighbor goes to the next guy, and then that signal goes to the next guy, and it's this grid until they get to the last house, and at the last house of this grid, those numbers from that meter go from all the neighborhood goes to the utilities, and that's what they're getting. And I heard that some people were getting charged extra high usage for energy because the meter was reading their neighbors and that number was carrying on to their bill when it was being carried through the grid. Could you address that problem?
I can. Now there's about three different types of meters out there. So it's really important to know the differences of the actual meters. This is very important to know. There's an AMI meter, which is an advanced metering infrastructure, which uses a mesh network system, and it pulses between meters and utility antennas. They can remotely shut your power off this way. Now, that's the advanced. What we have in Bandon is a one-way meter. It's not quite as invasive as the AMI meter. We have the AMR meter, which is it could either be a bubble-up, which continuously pulses, or it could be a wake-up. A wake-up only would pulse only when the reader wakes it up. And unfortunately, Bandon Electric chose the bubble-up type. So anyway, you're getting zapped with that stuff every 30 seconds. Okay, then there's a PLC, meter line communications, a.k.a. Transmits data over your power lines. To this wired system, dirty electricity rates inside your homes. So there's not only the problem of the pulse from the transmitter pulsing every 30 seconds. Every smart meter, every type of digital meter has a rectifier in it and a transformer that transforms the 120 or 240 volts to a lower voltage to run the electronics. And when you do that, you lower the voltage to between 10 and 4 and 10 volts DC. That actually sends high voltage transients into your house wiring, which can also have a detrimental effect. So all this stuff is, you know, we're basically being used as lab rats. And I don't like this. This is not good. The safest meter to have is your old analog meter, the one that's been on your house for years and years. And chances are that it's been replaced. Many of them have been replaced with the smart technology or the one-way easy read meter.
Now, do they normally tell you if they're replacing it, or they just come out and replace this?
They do not tell you. They just come. And most people are working during the day. They come home, and this thing's on the side of their house, and they don't even realize it.
And, you know, the thing is with my house, my meter is on the wall that's connected to the garage. So when it's pulsating, there's a whole entire garage between where my family sleeps and where the meter is. But a lot of people, their meter is going to be right next to their bedroom, right where the head of their bed is. And every night, what you're saying is that there's these pulses, these microwave pulses that are going to be continuously coming out of these meters, exposing people to this type of electro pollution is what I call it.
Yes, it's an electromagnetic radiation created by electromagnetic fields. And the problem with this is that, you know, we're already flooded with this stuff. I have meters. I test this stuff. And you wouldn't believe what I find. Actually, the worst EMF comes out of that I found comes out of cell phones. And actually, sometimes even worse than cell phones is the wireless walk-around telephones. Believe it or not, those sort of things are putting out a lot of EMF. I know a lot of people that got sick that use them. I suspect that could be the source of their problem.
And it very well could be. I'm one of those who I like to wait and see on the data of this, but I agree with you that many of these companies seem to be using us like guinea pigs on these smart meters. Before we continue, John, hold over, if you could, for an hour. For the next part of the hour here, because we're going to have a giveaway. We need to take another break, but this time we're giving away some goodies. I know you all like this part of the show. And this is courtesy of your locally owned restaurants with locations in downtown Coos Bay, North Bend, Walmart, and Reedsport. And what we're giving away is one free breakfast, lunch, or dinner. That's the extra value meal. One free breakfast of your choice. One free small McCafe beverage, very good stuff there, and one free dessert of your choice. And on top of that, you'll get a special page of coupons with special offers for free Happy Meals and such. So all you have to do is be the third caller at 541-267-2124. Once again, you be the third caller, and we'll be right back.
And now your weekly car care tip from Tom's Bulldog Automotive.
Hi, I'm Tom from Tom's Bulldog Automotive in Coos Bay. How do you save money on brake work? Not by skimping, say the experts, who claim a bargain brake job seldom is a bargain. Instead, they say invest in the best brake service available, drive sensibly, and of course, practice preventative maintenance. Preventative maintenance includes a periodic inspection of brake components to stay ahead of excessive wear of your brake rotors and drums. If you have squeaky brakes, they may be getting worn out and need to be replaced.
Make it a point now to have your brakes checked by Tom's Bulldog Automotive. They'll make sure your brakes are working properly and your car is in tip-top shape for the winter. Call them at Tom's Bulldog Automotive today at 541-269-0399. That's 541-269-0399. Or go to tomsbulldog.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Think you can't manage the down payment it takes to purchase a new home? Think again. You could move into a $150,000 home with as little as $1,500 down with our 1% down payment option. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.19%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Every day people ask me, Jay, did I miss out? Have the rates gone up? The answer is no. Rates are still low, and it's a perfect time to refinance your home, especially if your mortgage rate is higher than 4.25%. If you'd like to lower your interest rate and save thousands of dollars in interest without starting over on a new 30-year loan, a Quicken Loans Yorgage is what you're looking for. With our exclusive Yorgage, you can choose a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. The rate today on an 8-year Yorgage is 3.25%, APR 3.75%. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation for customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the third year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
Your brain is an amazing thing, but as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. In clinical trials, Prevagen has been shown to improve short-term memory. Prevagen, the name to remember, now available in stores everywhere. Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two Go Anywhere pillows. Now MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows for 40% off. And that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Well, you're not listening to Jim Bice. This is Rob Taylor, and I'm filling in for Jim today. He'll be back next week. I'm new to the set here as far as being the host. And on that last segment, I forgot to mention that locally owned restaurant was McDonald's. That's right, our locally owned McDonald's, and I want to congratulate the winner out there. We're going to continue on with John Costa talking about smart meters. And John, one of the things I want to ask you about is the safety of these meters. If they're putting out all of this information, and because these meters, from the way I understand it, can talk to all your smart products like your refrigerator, your dishwasher, your washer and dryer, all of those now are becoming smart machines. They're going to be ran by computers, and all this information is traveling in this grid, and then it's going from the grid to the utilities company. But in between that point, they can somehow tap into that information and get that if terrorists or hackers wanted to get that information. Is that true? John, you there? Nope, I think we lost John.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, great. Did you hear that?
I can't hear him.
You can't hear me?
I can't hear him, but I can hear you.
Okay. Well, what I was talking about is that because they put a grid on your houses and that one house talks to another, and the machines, the smart meters, can talk to products inside your house, such as your washer and dryer, your dishwasher, your refrigerator, all of those are now becoming, all of them are smart machines, and they can communicate to each other, and all that information is being sent through the grid, and then it's being sent to the utility company. One of the things that is a big worry for this is that hackers can hack that information, or terrorists can get that information. Are you concerned with such things?
I am. I quoted James Woolsey that the smart grid is not smart at all. It's really a stupid grid. And I have to agree with that, because I can see how hackers could actually get into this. They could shut your power. They could steal information. Plus, the companies that sell, like GE or any company that sells refrigerators or stoves, they actually have access to your personal information and your personal electrical usage. And what they can do with this information is find out how to contact you and then hammer you with advertising of things that you might not want. And it's just, I see a whole privacy issue with this this type of technology.
Oh, I completely agree with you. The other thing that I was worried about is, from what I understand, is that at a certain point with the some of these smart meters, that they can actually detect when there's over usage of electricity, and then they can start shutting down or lowering the output to certain areas to stop any brownouts or blackouts that they are predicting.
Yeah. Well, they can do that. A big problem is really of what they're charging you for this. I don't know if you realize this, Rob, but the utility company, they're overcharging their customers with this type of technology. They use a pickup signal, a signaling device to actually, it's called a Hall effects device, to actually pick up your usage. And what the computer does inside your smart meter, it actually calculates a higher amount of your peaks. Like when your motor starts in your refrigerator, that first second or two of energy is very high. The amperage current is very high. And what that does is it registers that high usage. And then what the computer does, it averages that high peak startup time at an unproportional level. It's just, the customer will always end up paying more. Everybody that's had a smart meter. And then just to run the electronics of that, a true smart meter, not a one-way meter, will actually draw a lot less current. But the smart meter will actually draw, it's 31 cents a day that the customer gets to pay for the power companies. Now, if you compute, 365, comes up to something like, $113 a year.
Right.
Of power that the customer gets to pay to have the smart meter running.
And from what I understand, they don't, and some of these aren't even measured in kilowatts. They're using, what's the term? I forget the term they're using in measurements, but I don't think they're measuring in kilowatts. Is that correct?
Well, I think they're using the units they're using are correct. It's just that the calculation is they're trying to average this out. You're not actually getting billed for your actual usage, as the old analog meter did.
And that's something that right now they do that with our water. They average that out throughout the year, and at the end of the year, you get hit with a big bill around January to match up whatever you missed throughout the averages that you were billed through over the year for your water. They do that in Albuquerque. So I could see them doing something like that with the electrometers.
Yeah. So you're going to get charged more. You're at risk for health. Now, people with pacemakers should really take heed to this, because you could actually goof up your pacemaker. What are these people doing? It's like, somebody's got to really, question this. I have actually a really good write-up here from the American Academy of Environmental Medicine. And by the way, I don't know if you remember Dr. Joe Morgan, who's just retired couple of years back from Bay Clinic.
Yes.
He's a past president of the American Academy of Environmental Medicine. He knows all about this. He talked to Dr. Martinelle Paul's presentation and said that on a clinical level, he saw many more patients coming into his office with electrohypersensitivities. Every day, there's more and more people that were coming into his office with this very problem.
Well, let me ask you this. What would be the solution for Bandon to work something out with these electrometers? Because I right now have an analog meter, and it's not behind a fence. And one of the reasons it's not behind a fence is because I got into an argument with the city, who said I couldn't build a 6-foot fence in my front yard. I could only build a 4-foot fence, so I left it without a fence, and it's only in the backyard. So my meter is completely open to those guys coming in and taking it down. What can we do to stop this?
I would go to the city, and I would call the city up and say, have you installed a smart meter on my house? Or one-way, it's actually called an easy-read one-way meter in Bandon. That's what Bandon Electric chose to put on all houses here in this city. Coos Bay is probably something else. I don't know. But what you could do is call your utility company and ask them if there's that type of meter on your house. And if there is not, tell them that you do not want, you want an opt-out option. And if they're not willing to do that, I would put a sign. There's signs available on stopsmartmeters.org that you can download and paste right onto your meter. So when they come there to take it off, they might scratch their head a little bit and think twice about putting a meter there. Well, and the next thing you could do is send them a notice of liability, which actually makes them liable for any damages suffered by the customer. And that kind of, you know, they'll start scratching their head a little bit, I think, if they see a notice of liability. They're available. I have them. You can download them off the computer and send them that, and they'll know that, you know, you're serious about your health and you're not willing to take the risk, and you prefer to keep your old analog meter. Now, in Bandon, what they're doing is they're saying, yeah, okay, we'll take the meter off your house, but we're going to charge you for it.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Without telling you about it, but we're going to charge you, and we'll charge you half of what Pacific Power charges.
Now, from what I understand, you just said that there's still going to have to be a gentleman to come out and read or get the signal, correct?
That's right.
So, yeah, well, we in this day and age where we're trying to keep people employed, it seems to me like we'd be losing more meter readers and putting more people out of work with these instruments.
Well, unfortunately, you're right. I feel the same way about it. However, the city electric manager and some of the people on the utility commission in Bandon feel otherwise. They think that it's saving them a lot of money. But the bottom line is they have to drive in close proximity to your house anyway, and they're using binoculars. I mean, in many cases, not all cases, but many cases, probably most cases, the meters are actually located facing the front of the property.
Right. They almost have to be anymore just so that they can read them, and they do that all the time. Well, John, I'm going to hold you on. We're going to come back after the commercial because we need to take a pit stop here and pay some of the bills with a short break. And when we come back, we'll continue to talk about this, and we'll talk about the school and the new tower that they have over there. So if you'll hold on, we'll carry you on through the break. Thank you very much.
Looking for a new or used firearm? You should get to know the friendly folks at World Pawn Exchange. Located at 1980 Sherman in downtown North Bend, World Pawn Exchange buys, sells, and trades firearms of all types. And with their extensive, ever-changing inventory, they could have just the right firearm for you. If they don't have that gun that you want in stock, they'll be more than happy to special order it for you. World Pawn Exchange in downtown North Bend, where you'll find more than you can possibly imagine.
Well, I was driving across town when my car got down, started lurching and trying to die. Well, luckily there was a shop, and when it struggled to a stop, a nice fella met me right outside. I said, man, something's wrong. What the heck is going on? He said, I tell you this, I got no doubt. You just relax and don't you worry. We can fix it in a hurry, because your car is what we're all about. We do it all.
Bayshore Auto and RV Repair, your one-stop shop for all your automotive and RV mechanical repairs. Stop by and see Jeff and his friendly staff on Bayshore Drive in Coos Bay.
Hey everyone, this is Rob from Basin Tackle, and we want to invite you to tune in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for our Basin Tackle Outdoor Show. It's going to be an hour of fun, frivolity, and of course, fishing. We're also going to have hints, tips, and suggestions to help you catch more fish. Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, we're going to have something for everyone with guests, call-ins, giveaways, and whatever else I can think of as I head into the studio. Remember, folks, that's Wednesdays at 3 p.m. brought to you by Basin Tackle, where we set you up for adventure and give you directions to get there.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, J.
Jim Bice.
Well, it's not quite Jim Bice, but if you do see Jim Bice out there wandering around, he's probably trying to figure out what he's going to do with the rest of the day. It's his birthday, and he's trying to figure out probably why he's not so busy on a Monday, because normally he's sitting here in front of the mic like I'm doing, and I'm Rob Taylor, and he allowed me to take over for the day so he could, you know, celebrate his birthday, which is a great thing. So, I want to get back to John Costa, and I want to switch gears here because I know, like I said, John's an activist, and there's a couple of other issues that he's been dealing with the Bandon School District, and one of those was a couple of years ago. The Bandon School District decided to erect a cell tower, or have, I believe it was Verizon, erect a cell tower right there on the school property. And most of us parents didn't even know anything about it. They didn't give us much notice or no notice whatsoever. And even though many people have no problem with this technology, they think it's safe, I think that the parents should at least have been notified and probably should have had a choice on whether they want their children exposed to this. And to use public property for private business, I think also should have been up to the consideration of the public. John, you want to address that issue?
I do. AT&T initially put a tower on the school's scoreboard in the athletic field about 20 years ago. So that tower has actually been there, a smaller, scaled-down version was there very inconspicuously put up on top of the scoreboard.
I remember that. I was a football coach for the assistant football coach for some of the teams over there, and I remember that there's a small shack at the by the board, and there's a small, like you said, it's not a very large antenna, but it is an antenna nonetheless.
Right, and so what happened in 2012, there was a new labor law that was put into place, and this was a way for the telecom companies to allow this to be a new tower to be ushered in, or a new upgrade to be ushered in with no resistance. And what it basically said means that this is going to employ so many people around the country that we should be able to have the right to have the tower put up with no resistance at all from anyone, including the local community. And we have a jurisdictional right to come in and improve a tower and upgrade it as long as it's not 10 feet, any more than 10 feet higher than the existing one. So what AT&T did is they added like two or three, I believe three extra transmitters and antennas, and then raised the antenna up another 10 feet. And so now it's putting out a total of, I don't know, 3,000 watts coming out of that thing. I have the specs here somewhere.
And the school board, they didn't even, did they get to vote on this?
I think the problem with voting, you're not allowed to vote for it. And now, let me explain something. There's something called the Telecommunications Act of 1996 that was actually signed by Bill Clinton that says that no cell tower facility can be stopped or negotiated for health or environmental concerns.
Wow.
Period.
Wow, that's boy, that really puts a limitations on what people can do. I mean, especially since in 1996, I don't know if we knew the effects of what this technology would be on the human body.
Yeah, and now we do. We even knew then. I knew this as I studied for a ham operator's license. I never got it. I never went through with it because of the cost of all the equipment. But I knew that this type of technology can be potentially dangerous. And then when you're talking about school kids, we're talking about a tower that's sitting 150 feet away from the elementary school. And those kids, their skulls are so permeable to EMF, much more, 6-8 times more. I have charts that actually show the permeability It was done for the University of Utah that shows the permeability of the child's skull to EMF with EMF compared to adults and even young adults. And it's remarkable. We're nuking our kids. And it's not even all the cell tower. It's also the problem with the Wi-Fi that's been installed in that school. Now, our school principal decided to put, I think, 11 or 13 wireless routers in the elementary school. So now they're getting nuked with the routers and the cell tower. And I've been trying to negotiate. I've been pleading with the school district for almost 4 years. October will be 4 years. And I've had letters sent to them from Dr. Martin L. Paul, who's a past one of the professors at Washington State University, and also Dr. Joe Morgan from Bay Clinic wrote them a long letter explaining this technology has no place in schools. Also, I had a Dr. Sam Milham, who wrote the book Dirty Electricity. He was a public health service analyst. He used to analyze health risks for 40 years. That's what he did for a living. He wrote the school district urging them to do something about this technology. And they keep putting more. Now they got smart screens in the school.
Right.
I mean, those kids aren't going to stand a chance. I'm telling you, by the time in another 10 years, by the time it's time to graduate, they're going to be in pretty bad shape.
Well, and you know, the thing is that I think this technology is new. I think there are a lot of concerns, and I think you have some valid points. I think, though, hopefully later on in the future, they're going to start dealing with these concerns, because eventually if people are getting sick from this, if people are starting to feel the deleterious health effects from this, that you'll start seeing the doctors and the community speaking up and talking out about this. But it's something that I think technology, just like the smart meters, will eventually come around to finding ways of transmitting this information without such high pulses of microwaves going through the air. Do you see any of these types of advances coming down the pike?
I don't see public awareness. I see what the problem is the addiction. In fact, EMF, EMR, both work on the serotonin receptors in the brain as heroin and cocaine. What people have become highly addicted to this technology. They can't put their phones down for a minute. You see people walking up and down the street with the kids with their heads tilted down. You know, it's time for dinner. Yeah, they're in the closet watching their smartphone. They don't want to have dinner with the family. I see a whole structural breakdown of the family as a cause of this. I think it's dangerous. I think we've gone a little bit over the edge with this technology.
And I'm not
saying get rid of it, but I'm saying use it wisely.
Right. And even myself, I find myself constantly on a computer, constantly drawn to checking the computer. I don't have a cell phone. And the reason being is that I want to be able to live my life without being constantly interrupted by calls. But you're right. These kids, these children out there, they're going around and they've got the cell phone to their head several hours throughout the day. I watch my own son. He is constantly on this. And like you said, it's very addictive. I do have one question for you. I want to ask you about the new 5G as opposed to the 4G.
Yeah, the 5G that's right around the corner. There's a lot of resistance with this from people who know about what the potential dangers are from this. This is what it does is it actually is able to transmit much more information in the frequency, so you'll actually get more bang for your buck. The problem is that there's going to be a bad side to this, and the bad side to having more information in a tighter wavelength is that it's going to have a more of a detrimental health effect. Is it's a much higher frequency. It goes up to somewhere around 43 gigahertz, which is
wow,
really, really high stuff. And it will have an effect on the skin and the eyes on top of already what 4G has given us, the lower frequency fourth generation technology has given. So I see it as a real threat. As I understand it's already being put up in the San Francisco Bay Area, and it's on the way in Sacramento. I understand it's already being sent across Portland now, and I'm guessing probably within a year or two they're going to want to put these poles up at every 12 houses or so and grid the entire area with these little pizza boxes that sit up on telephone poles.
And I don't think people are, like you said, I'm so glad I had you on today, because I don't think people are aware that this is going on, and I don't think they really know what to do about it. Really quickly, could you give me your website and where people can go to find out more about this?
Okay, I don't have my own website. They can correspond. I'd rather not take calls, because my phone will probably get clogged up with a million calls.
Yeah, just spit out the website. That's fine.
And there's stopsmartmeters.org. Also, another good website is wirelesswatchblog.org. And on there you can see Dr. Ronald Powell's evaluation of smart meters. It's excellent. It's 21 pages long. It's a lot of stuff to read through, but it's very scientific. He has incredible background and knowledge of what he knows, and he'll explain in his article.
Well, thank you very much, John. I appreciate you coming on and being our guest today. And as you can hear, the music is coming on, and we have a hard break going out. And for all the rest of you who want to learn about the smart meters, go to the website, www.stopsmartmetersoregon.com. And when we come back, I believe we're going to be talking to Court Boyce about the Klondike fire that's raging down in Curry County. Just what we need, right, folks? So if you will, please stay tuned and consider coming back. Our phone number, if you want to call in, is 541-267-2124. And I'll see you on the other side of the commercials. Front lines. So joining me by phone right now is one of the county commissioners of Curry County, and that would be Court Boyce. Are you here, Court?
Rob, thanks for having me on. Appreciate the chance to talk to your listeners.
Oh, you're more than welcome. And I'll tell you what, you coming on to explain to us what's happening in your areas, you're right on the front line of these fires. I have known, because I've been watching the Facebook pictures that a lot of people have been putting out down there. And being on the line, tell us a little bit how that's like.
Well, it's when we get the winds, the columns go up and it looks like a nuclear explosion. And so that understandably makes folks a little bit on the nervous side. It's still, Rob, about 4 or 5 miles away, probably the best figure I could offer. But, you know, we're watching the winds. It's through the Biscuit Burn, the 2002 fire, which, as you know, is the largest fire in Oregon history, 500,000 acres.
Right.
And so that brush is 15 feet high, and it is thick. There's essentially no conifers in there. It's very, very rugged country. Some of the ridges they call the Razorback Ridges, because it's not even wide enough for a trail. So that's making it extra tough. And Agnes currently, Rob, is on a evacuation 2, which means be ready to go. And, you know, we've got a lot of help here. The Oregon Department of Forestry, the U.S. Forest Service, is really demonstrated a complete opposite approach to what they did last year in the Chetkobar fire. And as you recall, we lost 192,000 acres of Curry County, almost a fifth of our geographical area. And so we had a lot of frustration with the Forest Service last year, but a new supervisor has come on board, and he is really a breath of fresh air, and has done and asked his people to do absolutely everything possible to get these fires out. Of course, we had the 100 lightning strikes on the 15th of July, and that was almost unprecedented for Southwest Oregon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm from the desert, and we have those electrical storms quite often. I'm from Albuquerque, and you can see them start prairie fires, which is nothing like what we have here because, you know, it's just brushweed out there in the desert. But you can see those burn relatively quite fast as they rage across the prairie. And so I can understand that those fire being started by lightning can be very unprecedented and very scary for people who are living in the area.
Well, the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest, the County Office of Wilderness, this is the most rugged, the most unique, the most wild, in the continental United States. And so it is dense, thick forest. It's a source of pride for us, at least it has been in years past. It should also be the most productive. You know, there's logs, timber that is, these fires have just devastated our, as you know, Rob, our wildlife habitat, our
right.
water quality, our air quality. And so we are, the fuel sources are just the highest content basically anywhere. And so we're looking at ways to change national forest management policies and push back. A lot of county commissioners in this area, are almost all of them, are quite focused on what we have to do to change this. And it really is represented by the small minority environmentalists, what I refer to as a green activist or the zealots, that
right.
they are responsible for these fires we're having right now. You're hearing senators say that it's global warming, and the evidence just does not support that. The temperatures, we might be in the middle of a climate change, and the temperatures may be going up a little bit.
Right.
Very, very hard to measure. And even if that is the case, we're still not properly managing our forests. We're either going to let it burn or it's going to burn.
They can barely make the correlation, and they certainly cannot make the causation from the evidence that I've seen that it's attributed to the global climate change, and we are a spinning rock orbiting a fireball. So, in that sense, our planet is going to go through changes. And, this has happened since this planet was created. So, when they talk about climate change, a lot of the environmentalists, they push that as an ideology to press a lot of their big government plans. And what we are seeing now is that ideology that's been basically seeped into our Department of Interior agencies, such as the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, such as the U.S. Forest Service and stuff. Jim calls them the green weenies. But could you tell me? But one of the things is that they don't talk about is the expense of fighting one of these fires. Could you give me an idea? How much does a county spend with the Forest Service, with the Oregon Department of Forestry? How much does a county have to put in for something like this?
Well, actually, directly nothing, but the indirect costs, the lost our tourism, recreation industries, we spend thousands of dollars to get folks to come here and visit, and it's just disheartening. It's just unacceptable to have people put up with the health hazards of this smoke. It is along the lines of doctors say, when you have extreme hazards, you're better off not breathing. And so we have a real soft spot for the folks, the older folks, the kids that have, especially
yeah.
in the valley, as you know. I might be veering off just a little bit off topic here, but you make a very good point in that this has gone on for 35 years, and those folks have had their way through litigation and regulation, and it's just we have to push back. It's our own future we're talking about, not to mention the future of the generations to follow. And, I think you want to talk mostly about, how we got here today, and I'm sure willing to do that and give you my viewpoint. We can talk about anything you like, but as far as the county have to put up money,
But there's ancillary costs to it, right? And you know, you were talking about tourism. That's something, you know, our county commissioners and our city councils are pushing here in our county all the time. In fact, I think that the reason Bandon has had a bumper year this year is because a lot of your folks down there is coming up to our area so that they can get out of the smoke. I've seen quite a few people who I know from Curry County who's traveled up here, and that was the reason. But I do want to talk to you more in a minute here, because we're going to have to go to a break. And once again, I'm kind of new at this court, so you're going to have to put up with me a little bit and my inexperience. But we're going to have to take a break here because we have to pay the bills. And when we come back, if you can hold on to the phone, we're going to continue on talking about the fire that's happening down in Curry County. So with that, we're off to the commercials.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
The RV business is booming at the Boomin' Y, and Gibbs RV is looking for nice pre-owned RVs to consign or buy. Gibbs RV makes it so simple. They will come to your location, give you a fair appraisal, and help take care of all the paperwork. It doesn't get any easier than that. So let the professionals at Gibbs RV take the hassle out of selling or consigning your RV. Stop by and see them today at 1845 Ocean Boulevard in Coos Bay by the Big Boomin' Y in Empire, or check them out at GibbsRV.com.
Hi, Danny at Far West Tire and Auto here. Sometimes deer like to jaywalk, or even once in a while a basketball forgets to look both ways before bouncing across the street. When those moments happen, be ready for the stop with the Michelin Premier All-Season Tire, a tire design with more performance in mind. Far West Tire and Auto on Highway 101 Coos Bay. Always the right tire, always the right price.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
You're listening to the Jim Bice Show. Rob Taylor here hosting, and we're talking to County Commissioner Court Boyce, and we're talking about the Klondike Fire that's happening down in Curry County. This is the Klondike Fire and the Taylor Creek Fire. No relation to me. But one of the things, Court, that you were talking about is how we got into this situation, and that's something that I would like you to tell my audience here. How did we get here? Why are we at this point?
Two, the Biscuit Fire. The environmental zealots ran the clock out. And I know it sounds a little bit harsh, but I don't have time anymore. A lot of us don't. It's a battle that we have to win, and they have won it. And it has paved the way for this absolute incredible destruction of our national forest and the reasons we live here. When I say they ran the clock out, Rob, they basically, any timber that had value and an interest in getting those contracts encouraged, bidders, they found every reason why that it could be delayed. And the attorneys get wealthy off of our suffering. And people are starting to catch on to that. Even in the north part of the state, you probably have friends up there going, why are we getting all this smoke? What's going on? Oregon is burning up. It's because we are not managing well. And here's just one example. And you asked me earlier, the Chetco Bar fire, to the day it was contained, November 3rd of 2017, it was discovered on the 12th of July, $78 million to fight that fire.
Jeez.
If I had just 1% of that for economic development and working on my highway and sudden oak death containment, I mean, the list, it just goes on and on and on. And yet that, and you made a very good point there, and the sheer amount of money that we have to expend. I mean, we're the Forest Service has, over the years, evolved into a fire management
right.
program and process as opposed to a forest management. And so that's how we got here. It's not, the Forest Service is not our enemy. There are policies, and I probably would not have said that a year ago, but now I see the ship slowly starting to turn. Mission on New Rogue River, Siskiyou National Forest Supervisor Merv George. I've spent a ton of time with him. I've spent a ton of time with the people at the Oregon Department of Forestry since the Chetco Bar fire. And a lot of those folks more experienced than I have recognized this and been aware for a long time. And so it's just really time to bring sanity back to public lands management policies. I'm looking at working with the tribes, the counties, collectively working on this. You look at the best managed forest in Oregon is private timber and the tribal timber.
Right. And I know that didn't they just pass the Resilient Forest Act just last year that helps the Indian tribes manage more of these lands?
Yeah, I would consider it as much as anything a test to. I mean, the evidence is clear that they are fierce in management. They harvest properly. They don't take one tree too early, nor one tree too many. But they manage well. It's a big agricultural crop, a garden that is good for their nation and good for our country, good for our local economies, of course. And as far as Resilient Act, it needs to go a lot farther.
Way farther.
The log trucks we're seeing now, yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, just the log trucks we see now, they are private timber logs, 80 to 90%. So, unfortunately, they're not coming from public lands. And so that's why we have these fires, because the forest in Oregon grows out of control. Nobody has the advantage we have here to grow the fastest growing, highest quality trees anywhere on the planet.
And you know, to anyone like you or me or anyone out there with common sense, we'd say, well, this is great. This is something that we can utilize. It's a resource that can be replenished and that we should be cutting it down and to manage the forest so that we don't have these large fires. One of the things that many of us, because you're out here in the same area that we are, is, recently, about a couple of years ago, they wanted to take about 5,000 acres in the Coquille Valley, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. It was called the Bandon Marsh Expansion, and it was calculated to be 5,000 acres, but when we did a little bit more investigating, it was actually 17,000 acres. And from the head of the Coquille River at the ocean all the way to Myrtle Point, they wanted to turn that entire area back into a wild zone before the remnants of mankind. And I can only imagine what would happen to that area if we were allowed this to go on, that this what they call rewilding. And I see that happening in many of the forest practices throughout these agencies. Can you address that problem?
Well, I'm guilty of sometimes overstating the obvious. It's the unintended consequences of that.
Yeah.
Is that really the best route for our children's future, for the next generations, to lock something up to the point to where we don't manage well, and we have an idealistic outlook on this type of approach to national lands, public lands, and it doesn't work.
Right.
There's too many times that things go in the opposite direction that are detrimental to our economic future, our historical future. My goodness, it's teaching kids that we were put here on this planet, in my view, to wisely use our resources and for the benefit of the people. And when we let go and give up, and sometimes even teach our kids that we should feel guilty. Well, no, we have to be good stewards. That's part of the Native American heritage. Is part of a pioneer spirit in this country. And so we are, and in Oregon especially, we are resource-based. It's fishing, farming, and forestry, and fun, for the tourism aspects. I hope I answered your question.
Oh, absolutely. And you just hit the nail on the head. Every economy, no matter what economy we're talking about, has four base industry, and that's agriculture, fishing, forestry, and mining. All other industries, whether they be service, whether they be industrial, come from those base industries. And what I'm seeing on the long range from what the Department of Interior was under the last previous administrations is that they were really attacking all four of those industries. I mean, they were attacking what we could fish and take out of the ocean. They're attacking what we can log in our forests. They're attacking what we can mine out of our forest and other areas. And I hopefully, under this new administration, we're going to start changing those policies. Have you seen any direction in that way?
Well, it's kind of a delayed swing on the pendulum, but I believe it's coming. I think there's a much more balanced approach from the Trump administration, and it gives me optimism. Nobody I know. It's just like the private timber companies. I'll revert back to the philosophy of the Native Americans. You know, it is a managed resource. It is a sacred responsibility to grow these forests and protect the wildlife and protect our water and air. I know I'm repeating myself a little bit there, but people, you know, we have a wonderful surveyor down here in Curry County. He's in his mid to late 60s, and he can't really find anybody who's interested in learning that trade. And he makes pretty decent money, and he does it because he loves to be out in the forest. And you know, some of these skills are lost arts. I mean, timber falling is an incredibly skilled position, and it is a very good profitable deal when times are good. And so, you know, we need that diversity. We need that balanced approach on, you know, and if you go out with a bunch of loggers in the morning, I mean, you're going to see those people. I mean, they're watching out for their buddies. They're safety oriented. They love to watch the sun come over the ridge, and they work extremely hard in incredibly contrasting conditions. And it's an art. And
absolutely,
most of them are very, very, very talented at that.
You know, and I'm sure you got friends in the business in the timber industry. I've got friends of mine who are there, and we were talking about this at the last Republican meeting just a couple of nights ago. We were discussing how his business has increased, and he's been out with new jobs out in different areas, and he needed to hire up to 10 more people, and he hasn't been able to find anyone to take these positions. And we're talking about jobs that are paying $25-$30 an hour.
Yeah, some of the experienced fallers, I think they make $300-$400 a day. They darn sure earn it.
Wow,
and
that $300 or $400 a day.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah, it depends how many trees they get on the ground. Of course, the size of the trees, how far they have to travel. And, of course, they've got saw expenses. That is no small thing. They wear a saw out in a month. And, you know, again, it's funny. A good friend of mine's a faller here, and when he was doing the salvage on the Checo bar fire, you know, he would go home every night, and his clothes would just be black from, you know, the soot of the tree. Just kind of a, you know, interesting side note there. But yeah, it is a lost art, and it's kind of sad because I hear that a lot, and that's why I referenced the county surveyor. There's some incredibly good jobs out there, and that's in their Oregon outdoor, wonderful opportunity and careers. So we'll just keep, as public officials and people that love this area, we'll just keep working to get the word out, huh?
I that sounds great, and I want to thank you for being our guest today. I appreciate talking to you about all this information, and if you would, please keep us apprised of what's going on, and we can bring you back and have a couple of more updates as this goes along, because it's probably another month or so before we're even out of the season, correct?
Absolutely, Rob, and good job today. You're very capable partner of Jim Bicer, and so tell him hi, and we'll probably call you if and when we go to level 3 on the Agnes evacuation. Right now I'm looking out my window here on the Agnes, my cabin, and there's some red out there. We're normally seeing this time of day the big white puffy cloud, smoke columns, but it's a little more red today, so the sheriff will be touching base with me here pretty soon, and we may have something to report. No news, though, is good news, okay?
Right. Well, let me ask you this before you go. Because I was reading the report out of the news, and I know you guys had a meeting yesterday because you were discussing if the winds change, you would have to evacuate Agnes and the other town there. Right now, are those winds, how are they looking?
You know, that's interesting you ask, because wind just died down as we're talking. And yesterday at the Agnes meeting at 3:15, 3:30, they're about a little 20-mile-an-hour gust, and all of a sudden the wind just stopped for 10 or 15 minutes. And that's the nature of the Calmeopsis wilderness and the southwestern Oregon rugged terrain. We haven't got the real severe east winds yet, nor the Chetco effect should probably come any day. But the winds are definitely a factor. It's definitely, Rob, flaring things up here. And it's going about a half mile a day. So if, barring some pretty big factors, we're looking for more resources every minute of every day, but the competition, as I mentioned, is really tough. So it's 1 hour at a time.
All right. Well, thank you for that information, Court, and we'll definitely have you on. I appreciate you coming on. We need to take another break now, but we've got another prize to give away, this time from the Lucky Star Restaurant at the foot of Newmark and 101. It's their house special, which includes barbecued pork, sweet and sour pork, fried shrimp, a spring roll, fried rice, and pork chow mein. It's a veritable mountain of food, so you might even consider bringing a friend to split it with. The compliments are of Lucky Star and of Jim Bice. So right now, if you would like to win a dinner for Lucky Star, be the third caller at 541-267-2124. Once again, be the third caller at 541-267-2124. We'll be right back.
Looking for a new or used firearm? You should get to know the friendly folks at Worldpon Exchange. Located at 1980 Sherman in downtown North Bend, Worldpon Exchange buys, sells, and trades firearms of all types. And with their extensive, ever-changing inventory, they could have just the right firearm for you. If they don't have that gun that you want in stock, they'll be more than happy to special order it for you. Worldpon Exchange in downtown North Bend, where you'll find more than you can possibly imagine.
In just a fast few minutes from right now, you can have life insurance for up to $500,000 without taking a medical exam and without leaving your home. We're Fast Life, and we're going to make this easy and fast. Odds are that you don't have enough insurance, or you're paying way too much for what you got, or you don't have any, and that's not good. Listen, nobody likes to think about life insurance, but we're grown-ups now, so call and protect your family. 1-800-254-9567, or go to fastlife.life. You've got insurance? That's great, but you may be able to get more coverage and pay less than what you're paying now. And with no medical exam, you can get it right over the phone, and that's fast. Faster than a speeding bullet? No, but fast. And we also said we make it easy. So call and get quotes, then submit an application over the phone, and that's it. And that's easy. Get approved, and coverage starts instantly. And that's fast. Faster than the speed of light? No, but fast. Call 1-800-254-9567 or go to fastlife.life. Fastlife.life. It's revolutionary. It's Fast Life.
If you run your own business, when you're not on the job, you're on the road. In your van. Signs that say detour and do not enter are just plain bad for business. Well, here's a sign that's great for business. It says 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance on Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or Metris vans. Powerful, capable, and affordable. That's Mercedes-Benz van power. With pioneering safety technologies and low total cost of ownership, Mercedes-Benz vans are the right choice for your business. Check out the full lineup of Mercedes-Benz vans starting at just $25,995. 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance. That's van power for all. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
Starting ad price refers to base model Metris worker cargo van. Excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Please see your dealer or go to mvvans.com for further details and exclusions.
Are your medical bills piling up due to cancer or another serious illness? You are not alone. Many people face this challenge. Here's how Coventry Direct can help. You can receive an immediate cash payment by selling your life insurance policy. If you have $100,000 or more of life insurance, you may be eligible to sell your policy, even a term policy. To find out if you qualify, call Coventry Direct today at 1-800-510-2800 to speak to one of our policy specialists. That's 1-800-510-2800. the cash you receive from selling your policy can be used to help pay medical bills or whatever you choose to give you financial security and peace of mind. Call Coventry Direct at 1-800-510-2800 or visit us at coventrydirect.com. Coventry Direct, giving you the cash you need when you need it most. Coventry Direct is a marketing company and will refer qualified policies to a licensed entity.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
All right, we've got a winner already, so you can stop calling for the contest, but you can call in if you would like to wish Jim a happy birthday. That's right. If you want to call in at 541-267-2124 and want to talk about anything or wish Jim a happy birthday, once again, that's 541-267-2124, and we'll put you on the air and talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. But right now, because I'm the host, we're going to talk about something new. We're going to talk about an event that's happening in Coos County on September 12th through the 16th. And I'm pretty excited about this. Coos County Veterans Services is hosting a Celebration of Heroes, the Vietnam Traveling Tribute. Now, what this is that the Celebration of Heroes is going to bring in an 80% replica of the Vietnam Memorial Wall. And they're going to bring it to Coos County between the 12th and the 16th of September. And there's a schedule of events. I'll go through that. But the Celebration of Heroes is a culmination of a multi-year project to honor the Vietnam veterans in our communities, which they deserve to be honored because I'll tell you, of all the people who've really sacrificed for our country, no one has done more to have to fight that war in Vietnam. It was something that was very impressionable to me because as growing up, I had an uncle who was fighting in Vietnam and many hours was spent in front of the TV trying to find out all that we could, which was going on over in that country that we never even heard of before. And so this Celebration of Heroes event will begin September 12, 2018, with a motor escort of the truck bringing the wall. The escort will start at the Coos County Fairgrounds in Myrtle Point. Citizens are invited to participate and should arrive by 3 p.m., and the escort will leave promptly by 4 p.m. Now, the people who are organizing this are asking that everyone please bring no advertising, no politicizing this event, no electioneering, and something that I heard down the grapevine is that there were people who are considering protesting this event. And I don't know if that's true, but I think it's in very bad taste. So somebody asked me if we could properly do a counter protest. And I explained to them that I don't do counter protests. There's two things that I will not do. And I will not do a counter protest because I think that everyone has a right to the freedom of speech to get out and to express themselves. And if I don't agree with them, you know, if they want to complain about the country, they want to complain about the president, they want to put a vagina hat on their head, hey, more power to you. Let your freak flag fly. I mean, I'm all for that. So I certainly don't want to do a counter protest against these people. And I certainly don't want to protest at a rally where the individuals who are organizing it are asking us not to politicize it. So those of you who are considered protesting against this, very bad idea, but I support your right to do it, even though it's a very bad idea. And I won't be doing a counter protest. What I'm going to do is I'm going to encourage as many of you to show up as you can. Now, there's a large group of volunteers who are going to erect this wall on 9/13 starting at 8 a.m. There will be an opening ceremony at 3 p.m. that day, and the memorial will be open to visitors at the end of the opening ceremony and dedication. Visitors can view the wall from dawn to dusk on Friday and Saturday and on Sunday morning. At that point, they're going to take the wall down, and it's going to move on to the next area. But I wanted to get this information out because I know there's a lot of people out there who are interested in this event. And right now, we've got a caller on the line. Lynn, are you with us?
I'm right here.
Hey, Lynn,
yeah,
how's it going?
I just want to tell Jim happy birthday. And to get back to those meters you were talking about.
Yes.
This is already going on down in Orange County and down in California. Mom's down there.
Hey, Lynn, your phone's kind of breaking up there. You think you could fix that?
Okay, how about now?
That sounds a little better.
Okay, this is already going on down in Orange County, down in California.
Doesn't surprise me.
And the big deal is it's all about control. they entice you with cheap rates if you sign up for this. But then when you need it in the heat, they cut it off during the big demand period. Well, when you're retired, you're not out working, so you need that.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's 100 degrees or whatever down there. Anyway, so and there was all kinds of protests, and they say it's their property. They can do what they want.
And that's the feedback that we're getting from the city, is that it's their property that is on your house and that you are a customer of theirs and that they will do with their property what they choose, because basically we have no other remedy other than to accept what the utilities are giving us. But I'm not buying that. I think there's probably other things we can do.
And water meters, that's coming. I was in water. That's coming down the road. What they had down there was there's a central on a telephone pole. There's a receiver, and it collects all the data for a certain area in an area, and then the worker for the company just drives by the telephone pole and downloads, and it gets that whole area. So as far as those magnetic field waves, they're everywhere.
Right. And you know, they're increasing. And here's one of the things that I read, is that this type of electro pollution that's out there, you know, is what I was calling it. You know, we have a situation where the sperm count in men has been dropping over the last couple of decades. And one of the things that they're talking about with these, that is caused by these electronic pulses, is that it actually drives down the sperm count of men. And, you know, I don't know if there's a causation, correlation going on there, but I found it very interesting that the more we increase in these frequencies, the less reproductive skills the guys have. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. And then when I was working at the water company, they wanted us to put fluoride in the water. Well, we weren't a municipality, so we told them no. But if you were a municipality water company, you had to fluorinate.
And you know, and that's another thing I don't understand. Why are we the citizens who have to be forced to do something like that? That's one of those things that should definitely be on the ballot. If you're going to ask the overwhelming majority of the people to accept some type of chemical that is nothing but a waste material from another product to be injected into your water system, we should at least they should have the decency to ask us whether we want it or not, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah, but you know, the main problem is you have no choice.
Yeah.
You know, it's they have a monopoly. Electrical, water, you know, you can't pick unless you're out in the country and you can pump your own water.
Right. And they're getting ready to put meters on that. They're talking about putting well meters for many years out there so that they can start taxing anyone who's outside the utilities of the cities and the counties.
Yeah, and you know, that goes all the way back to the mid-80s. Oregon decided that all the water was owned by the state, whether it was in the air, under the ground, or surface water.
Right.
How can they decide that? That's something that we should have voted on.
You know, and you know, that's something that's a problem with Oregon. We, you know, back in the when FDR was president, they sent a lot of his New Deal cronies out here. In fact, when the first time Bandon was burnt down, they sent a gentleman out here to develop the area and plan the city out. And by the time he got the plan out, everyone had already rebuilt and done it in ways that weren't really to the plan. And that's the problem with these people. When they come out here, they think that they have a better idea of doing things and working these things out. But in Oregon, what they've done is that they took the beaches, and all the beaches are now owned by the government. They've taken the water. It's all owned by the government. Land use is run by one committee, a central committee, so that you can't really have any flexibility in local municipalities with your land use laws. And I've seen that happening in Oregon for a long time.
There's all one common theme. They're controlling us.
Yep. And which is sad, because control is an illusion. And you know how you know it's an illusion? Like I said before, we're just furry little animals on a spinning rock orbiting a fireball. What control do we really have?
Thanks, Rob.
Not a problem. Thank you, Lynn, and thank you for calling in to talk. Wish Jim a happy birthday. If you'd like to call in and wish Jim a happy birthday, call us at 541-267-2124. And I'd like to change the wheels a little bit. I don't know if you folks knew this or not, because I can't remember if I mentioned it on the show the last couple of weeks, but about 2 weeks ago, I filed the Second Amendment Sanctuary Ordinance with our county clerk. Now, if you all been keeping up with what I've been doing, and you can find out more information on this at the website www.CoosCountyWatchdog.com. Once again, that's CoosCountyWatchdog.com. And Jim probably has a link from it on his website at Coos News. That's Coos with a K, CoosNews.com. And both of those websites will give you information on this new ordinance that I just filed, and it was accepted or approved by the county clerk, our own Debbie Heller. She approved this new ordinance, and I was worried about it because I was afraid that it might trigger some type of administrative clause in our Constitution or a second subject clause, which would not allow me to file this ordinance as an initiative. Now, the difference between the Second Amendment Preservation Ordinance, which we passed in this county back in 2015, and the ordinance that I just introduced or filed a couple of weeks ago, the difference is that the old ordinance allowed the sheriff to determine which Second Amendment laws or firearm laws violate your Second Amendment rights, and when he determined that, then he would be allowed not to put any resources or dedicate any resources or manpower enforcing those laws. Well, the problem is that it's you're conflating two offices when you allow the sheriff to make constitutional determinations. And if you all know your basic history lessons, in our American government, we have the executive branch, which executes the laws. You have the legislative branch, which makes the laws. And you have the judicial branch, which adjudicates the law. Well, if you're having a sheriff, which is part of the executive branch, adjudicate a law, then you're having the executive branch kind of meld over into the judicial branch. Now, there is a lot of discretionary powers in the sheriff's office, and he does have a right to dedicate resources to what he believes the people in his community want those resources dedicated to. But we think that the law, the Second Amendment Preservation Ordinance, had a lot of weaknesses and that it could be basically defeated in a court if it was challenged. So what we did is we contacted the 10th Amendment Center, and we worked with a couple of attorneys around the state, and we had them draft up what we called the Second Amendment Sanctuary Ordinance. And what it does is it literally turns our county into a sanctuary for all law-abiding gun owners. It gives a directive to the county, and that directive is very clear in our law. And what it does is it allows the county to not fund any state, federal, or local firearm laws. And it also lives by the principle, shall not be infringed. Let me read you the Second Amendment of the Constitution. The Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America states, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, comma, shall not be infringed. Those commas are very important, because at the end, this is the only right that's enumerated in the Bill of Rights that at the end of the right, it says shall not be infringed. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm no grammar expert. I'm no linguistic, but I do know what shall not be infringed means. And it means just what it says, that they should not infringe our right to keep and bear arms. But that's what they've done over the years. That's what they've done in the federal government. They keep passing more and more laws, and the state legislature keeps passing more and more laws that keeps restricting law-abiding citizens' right to keep and bear arms. So with this new law that I introduced into or filed as an initiative last week or a couple of weeks ago here in Coos County, one of the things it does is it talks about the anti-commandeering principle. It talks about how the anti-commandeering principle is a principle that the liberals are using to create the sanctuary cities and states for illegal immigrants. I know you all of you have heard this. They've done it in San Francisco. Oregon is a sanctuary state. We've been one since 1988. In fact, we were the first state to become a sanctuary state. Well, We thought that if the government, the state government, can tell the federal government that they're not going to dedicate any resources to uphold federal immigration laws, laws that we all agree with, or most of us agree with, that should be in place, well, then we thought then we should be able to create a law for cities and counties that basically give the same directive, that we will not give any resources or dedicate any resources to laws that violate our right to bear arms. And as far as I'm concerned, if it says shall not be infringed, that's pretty much any law that violates your right to own a firearm or firearms accessories. So in this ordinance, and I'm going to read section 3 of this ordinance. It's called Prohibitions. And it says, other than the in compliance with an order of a district or court or circuit court, and notwithstanding any other law, regulation, rule, or order to the contrary, no agent, department, employee, or official of Coos County, a political subdivision of the state of Oregon, while acting in their official capacity, shall knowingly and willingly participate in any way in the enforcement of any extraterritorial act as defined herein regarding personal firearms, firearm accessories, and ammunition. It utilize any assets, county funds, or funds allocated by any entity to the county in whole or in part to engage in any activity that aids in the enforcement or investigation relating to personal firearms or for firearm accessory or ammunition. What that does is it gives a directive to the county, telling them immediately that they cannot dedicate any resources to that. And it looks like I did the first overrun on my break. It looks like I'm going to have to take a break here. And as soon as we get back, we'll continue this on the other side.
Well, I was driving across town when my car got down, started lurching and trying to die. Well, luckily there was a shop, and when it struggled to a stop, a nice fella met me right outside. I said, man, something's wrong. What the heck is going on? He said, I tell you this, I got no doubt. You just relax and don't you worry. We can fix it in a hurry because your car is what we're all about. We do it all.
Bayshore Auto and RV Repair, your one-stop shop for all your automotive and RV mechanical repairs. Stop by and see Jeff and his friendly staff on Bayshore Drive in Coos Bay.
Hey, Oregon, it's Rob from Bass and Tackle. Don't forget to tune in to KWRO or KWRO.com every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for your premier Southern Oregon radio program, the Bass and Tackle Outdoor Show, where we set you up for adventure and give you directions to get there.
Yeah, I left my heart in Oregon.
Slip away to the tropics. The tropical decor at the new Copacabana, North Bend's newest and friendliest night spot. The Copacabana is located at 645 Virginia Avenue and features not only a full-service bar for all your favorite adult beverages, but offers hamburgers, seafood, and appetizers to satisfy your munchies. They're open from 5 till midnight Monday through Thursday and 5 till 2:30 a.m. on Friday and Saturday. At the Copacabana, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights are special with a live DJ for your dancing and listening pleasure. That's the Copacabana, 645 Virginia in North Bend. Stop by tonight.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
And you're listening to the Jim Bice Show. Unfortunately, I'm not Jim Bice. I'm Rob Taylor, and he's let me fly solo today. If you would like to call in, we've got a few more minutes left. You can call in and give Jim a happy birthday wish. I encourage it for everyone. Before we left, before the break, I was talking about the new ordinance that I've just filed. It's an initiative, and I haven't filed the petition sheet yet because I was waiting to see if we had any legal challenge to the initiative, because you have to wait. I think it's a 10-day waiting period to see if anyone challenges the ballot title or they challenge the content of the initiative itself. That's what happened with one of the other counties, several other counties. There were six counties who denied the Second Amendment Preservation Ordinance, which we passed here in Coos County. So that's why we wrote this new ordinance that I just filed. And so I wanted to wait and see if anyone challenged it, because, you know, every now and then you'll get someone who thinks that they can defeat this in a court, and that way I won't have the the chance to put it on the ballot, and you won't have the chance to vote for this. But I wanted to go back to the penalty section of this ordinance. It's in this penalty section, and here I'm going to read it straight from the ordinance. It says, all local, state, and federal acts, laws, orders, rules, and or regulations which restrict or affect an individual's person's or the people's general right to keep and bear arms, including firearms, firearm accessories, or ammunition, shall be foreign laws and defined as extraterritorial acts and are invalid in this county. In other words, we are not going to uphold any more gun laws. All of the crazy gun laws that they've been passing out of Salem, SB 917, SB 943. I can't remember all the numbers that they had, but the last couple of years, they've had an incredible amount of bills come out. They just had IP 43. That's the one that I'm thinking of. And that was the assault weapons ban. This assault weapons ban would have eliminated your ability to own a huge amount of weapons that many of us in this county do own and do go out and use on a regular basis. What our law here is going to nullify these bad laws. Now, it doesn't mean that someone can't uphold the law. It doesn't mean the state can't send the state troopers in here to uphold the law. But what it does mean is that our sheriff, and we have a very good sheriff, our sheriff Craig Zani here, he's going to now have the ability not to have to waste a lot of his time upholding a lot of these unnecessary laws that have been passed by the socialists up in Salem. I know Jim always calls them liberal, but I've gone beyond that. These people are socialists. They're ideologues, and they're not even hiding it anymore. I mean, they're coming out and bragging about it. So I'm encouraging all of you to learn a little bit more about the anti-commandeering principle, and you're going to have a chance to learn more about this ordinance that's coming up. Because I'm going to get this petition going, and we should be having a couple of meetings. And if you want to read the wording of the ordinance, once again, you can go to CoosCountyWatchdog.com, and I have it posted right there in the blog section. Most of the time, if you ever want to go to that website, and I keep it pretty well updated, and you can also go to Jim's website at Coos News. That's Coos with a K, CoosNews.com, and you can also find out exactly, you know, what is going on his website. The thing is with this initiative that I have filed, they have just sent me, this is the county clerk in Coos County, Debbie Heller, she's just sent me the ballot title for this. And the ballot title is Coos County Second Amendment Sanctuary Ordinance. And this is the question that's going to be on the ballot. The question is, shall the citizens of Coos County adopt the proposed Second Amendment Sanctuary Ordinance? It's pretty straightforward. Do you want to have your right to bear arms? Do you want your children to continue to have their right to keep and bear arms? Well, this may be a law that might get us a little bit further down that line. The summary of it, and this is the summary that the district attorney wrote up for this initiative, and it basically says the effect of a yes vote would prohibit Coos County officials, unless ordered by a court, from participating in the enforcement of an extraterritorial act or to use any county funds to enforce an extraterritorial act. An extraterritorial act is any local, state, federal act, laws, orders, rules, or regulations which restrict the right to keep and bear arms, ammunition, and firearm accessories by any person. As an example, the proposed ordinance would prohibit county officials from enforcing current laws that prohibit carrying a firearm concealed, prohibit those adjudicated to be mentally ill from possession of a firearm, and the prohibition of unlawful possession of a sawed-off shotgun, short-barreled rifles, and silencers. So that's some of the things you have to look forward to. As you can hear, the music has started, and I can't believe that these 2 hours went so fast. It only seems like just a few minutes. And I want to thank Jim Bice. Jim, I hope you're having a wonderful birthday. I'll see you a little bit later tonight. And for all the rest of you, please join us next week. Our show will be on at the same time, at the same place on KWRO. And I want to thank every single one of you for tuning in. You have a good day and carry on, Coos County.